Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast Day. We are so blessed you're joining us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever caught yourself scrolling through your cell phone or iPad or computer, really with no clue why? And at the same time, your kids are zoned out in front of another screen somewhere? You know, what if the real threat to your family's peace isn't what's out there, but what's in front of you right in your hands right now? I mean, you need to listen closely to today's interview, as this could be your answer to prayer. Amen. Today's guest is Mary Catherine Lisinski, a licensed counselor, family coach, and a passionate voice helping parents break free from the grip of digital addiction. Her mission? To glorify God by helping families reclaim peace in their homes, to restore focus to their lives, and to rebuild the relational glue it's really been eroded by screen time overload in today's society. Hailing from Hot Springs, Arkansas, Mary Catherine brings both practical tools and biblical wisdom to a problem that's basically hijacked far too many families today. And if you've ever felt like screens are running your house instead of the Holy Spirit doing it, then today's conversation is for you. Amen. With all that being said, help me welcome program Mary Catherine Lisinski. Mary Catherine, it is such a blessing to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bob. I've been looking forward to speaking with you and sharing with you and your listeners.
Amen. Well, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Mary Catherine Lisinski?
Well, I am a lover of the outdoors. I feel like when I walk outside, I can look at God's beautiful creation and just have that much more appreciation for His good gifts for us. So I love to be outside. And I just have a passion for helping families. When I was a young teenager, I just wanted to be able to help people through their emotional struggles. And that calling and that passion stayed, and I became a licensed counselor. I'm also a board-certified Christian counselor, and now I'm a life coach. And I wanted to work even more with families as a whole instead of the individuals. And so I began to see how many families are really struggling and having so many conflicts and fights over screen time in their home. And so I decided to zero in on that and became certified to treat digital addiction. And here I am.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's start with the big picture then. What are some of the real problems caused by digital overuse, especially in kids and teenagers?
Well, if you're wondering if you or one of your children are addicted, I would say one sign is, okay, is your screen use creating problems in other areas of your life, right? So sit and think about that for a minute. But signs of addiction could be withdrawal from others. You know, your teenager just wants to go in his room and be on his screen and not interact with other people. Anger. If you tell your child, you know, it's time to get off the video game and they have some big giant fit, that shows there's too much attachment to that screen. Yeah. Lower grades due to a lack of ability to focus. We can talk about how that can create some ADHD symptoms. Poor communication skills and less eye contact. They are not having the practice that they literally need in order to develop those skills. Hmm. You know, one of the saddest thing is they're not as happy as they used to be. Yeah. Unfortunately, you walk around today and you see teenagers just with that flat zombie face. And it's just a blank look. And you're like, okay, that is not normal. That needs to be alarming us. And we need to do something about it. That's not just a new generation coming up. It's not okay. You know, when we are children and teenagers, that's supposed to be the happiest, most joyful, most carefree period of our lives. Now that we've been adults for a while, we realize, hey, yes, that was the best time. And so I hate to see these teenagers just going around just so flat and so depressed, and that should spur us to action.
Amen.
Also, if you or one of your children, you know, you feel exhausted, but you can't sleep. Number one, screens keep us up at night and we're looking at the screen. And so the actual amount of time we're sleeping is reduced. But then also, then you finally try to go to sleep and you can't because many reasons. The blue light from the screens blocks your melatonin production and all of these other things. And so even when you try to sleep, you can't. And so, of course, not sleeping creates a whole cascade of problems.
Yeah,
lack of motivation. If your teenager just doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to just get out and go and do things, that's, again, not normal. Teenagers are supposed to have drive and, you know, be vivacious and things like that. And or if your teenager or child seems stressed or depressed with no other specific reason, again, look at your screen use. So those are some of the things to watch out for.
Amen. I mean, we know you've looked at this up close. How does this screen addiction, I guess, affect a person, especially a young person's ability to learn, to focus, and even connect in relationships? A lot of times they say, oh, I got lots of friends, but they're all online.
Right. Well, this is big and something that people don't realize. Screens can actually create ADHD symptoms. And how that happens is, this is especially with video gaming, but it can also be due to social media. I'll get into that in a minute. But video games actually train your brain to pay attention to multiple things at once. You're scanning that screen for any noise, any movement, anything like that. You're basically becoming hypervigilant. And so then in the classroom, when your child is supposed to pay attention to the one teacher or the one book, it's like, no, there's this movement and this noise and this noise. And that because you're training your brain to pick those up. So one psychiatrist has started calling this acquired ADHD, where there's a young person who did not have ADHD symptoms earlier on in life in the earlier grades, and then all of a sudden they appear. It's because the brain is being trained. Also, with social media and video games, it creates a lot of novelty. There's something new coming up on the screen all the time. A new post, a new flash, a new video, all of these things. And teachers, you know, standing there with a lecture is extremely boring compared to that. And so teachers are needing to try to compete with this novelty level that the child is used to for so many hours per day. And teachers just cannot compete with that.
Yeah.
And so screen usage creates so many problems for learning.
Yeah, amen. You know, you're talking about teachers trying to be interactive and engaging. Back in the 70s, when I was in high school, I still thought they were boring. So, and we didn't have any video games.
even more so now.
Amen. But as I, what happens in the brain with all of this screen time? I mean, is it really like a drug? And can, if someone's hooked on drugs, we call it withdrawal process and they can get clean. Is that possible with screen time as well?
Yes. Screen usage, video games, and social media will give you a dopamine spike. Now, let's back up a minute too. If there is a substance addiction, alcohol or some substance, that will give you a dopamine spike. And then at a certain point, the spike will go back down and then the addict will want another hit of the drug, so to speak. But especially with video gaming, you have that spike, which then just turns into a plateau. And that high level of dopamine stays there the entire time your teenager is gaming. And so, yes, screens use the same addictive pathways that drugs use. And so then when you tell your teenager to get off, there can be that, you know, dopamine crash and a giant meltdown, but also can lead to dopamine depletion where your body just isn't producing because it's trying to counteract the highs. And then dopamine depletion is what leads to the low motivation. And unfortunately, what we hear about, you know, the 25-year-old in his parents' basement just laying there doing nothing but gaming, It's because his dopamine is so low, he can't have the motivation to get up and go to that job interview or things like that. Mm-hmm. And so also just knowing that these social media companies actually hired psychologists to teach them addictive processes, and then they built those processes into their games. That has definitely been told by these social media companies that that is what they did. And so it's no accident that, oh, they're a little bit addictive. No, they were designed that way from the beginning.
Yeah, because we hear stuff about the algorithms and all that stuff, how it's designed just to suck you in and never let you get out.
Right. And now even with video games, they are building in gambling principles and gambling aspects to gaming with and using real money. And so I was on another podcast the other day, and the host said that his son had racked up $700 of, you know, play usage in this game, like, you know, real money from his dad. And his dad was like, oh, no, you're going to work to pay this off for me. I'm not paying for that. So what's happening is in these video games, your character will come upon a treasure chest. And so if you pay X amount of money, you can open the chest and see, oh, is this a weapon that you need or is it just a bag of dirt? Okay, so you are using money to gamble to open this chest to see what's in there. Wow. And parents, you know, number one, you need to watch out your credit cards so that your teens aren't using them like that. But also just knowing your child is learning how to gamble with your money. It's a lot easier to gamble with somebody else's money, but that is just so unhealthy, because we know for sure gambling is addictive as well.
Yeah, no one in our family that I know of ever experienced it, but I heard stories like, you know, the kid ran up, like I said, $500-$600 in gaming stuff on the phone. And it's like, how do they do it on their phone? But I guess the credit card is somehow linked to their phone. And I don't know how all that stuff works, but it always amazed me every time I heard a story like that. I said, why would you even give the kid a credit card? A 12-year-old doesn't know how to use a credit card. You know,
if your credit card is loaded on your phone and your teenager has access to it, it's going to, like, whatever game they're on is going to automatically connect to that card. And do you want to use this? Click yes. You know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, scary.
So you work with families every day with this situation. What are some common warning signs that screens are becoming a serious problem at home?
I would go to pointing to academic problems, behavior problems, you know, the fights, the screaming. And just when parents do try to take control, there was a very sad story out of Texas. This was not a client of mine, but ended up on the news. There was a mother who decided to turn off the Wi-Fi in her home. And she did that. And her three teenage daughters came after her with a kitchen knife.
Wow. Really?
And I was like, whoa. And the grandmother was there, thank goodness, and intervened, but I don't know how that story would have ended. And so I think, unfortunately, parents don't realize how attached and how addicted their child or teenager is until they try to do something like that. I do not think that mother anticipated that reaction at all.
Yeah. Amen.
But it's horrible.
Yeah, I remember with my daughter growing up, especially the youngest one, oldest one wasn't so much, but the youngest one was on the phone the whole time, talking to her boyfriend and all this stuff. And we had, you know, I think the reason it wasn't the issue with the oldest one is because back then there was a cord. But then we had the wireless one that would hang on the kitchen, you know, walls, and he'd carry it around the house. And I get up to in the middle of the night, go get a quick drink of water or something, and I see the little light on the thing. So I knew what was going on. I just walk up and unplug it. Bloop. Then you go to bed.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. And she used to get so mad. But it's like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You got to get for school tomorrow. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So I know what you're talking about with that. You know?
Have such a desire and a passion for helping families, because we don't need constant fighting in the home over screens. Yeah. That is just destroying relationships.
Yeah, amen. So how does your coaching program help families get back on track? And what's one simple step that a parent can take, like right now this week, to start reclaiming the household again?
Well, like we've said, too many families have given up. And I think one of the reasons is that they just go in and try to just take the screen away. And that is then what the teenager or the child just explodes over, and then the parent gives up. And so the critical piece here is the preparation ahead of time. If you are going to take away or severely limit screen time in your home, which we need to, you have to think about, okay, if my child has been on that screen 4 to 6 hours per day, what are they going to do instead, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of that has to do have a lot of planning ahead of time. And so that's part of what I help with. And then I stay with the family through the process. But that preparation ahead of time is key for that. And then also, I would highly encourage parents just to start talking to other parents, because this is just such a common problem. I think you could find another family who's like, yes, let's do this together. Let's severely limit screen time in our homes and allow our children to get together face to face to do activities, to play together, to go to the park, to go this and that, so that the children don't feel so alone. They don't feel like it's just them. I also highly encourage parents to start teaching their children and teenagers about brain health and how the brain is supposed to develop in a healthy way and how screens damage that healthy development. And so if we can get teenagers excited about brain health, because I think teenagers, at least to a certain extent, want to be sharp. They want to be on the top of their game, to be able to be up there, so to speak, and to say, okay, if you want that, you have to protect your brain and give it the best environment in which to grow, and screens don't belong in there. And so trying to put it in a positive light rather than just, oh, we're taking your screens away, it just sounds like we're just taking all your fun away. But trying to put it in a positive light of brain growth and what they want for their futures, I think can also help.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. But you also mentioned that God has something to say about all this. What biblical wisdom do you share with families facing this battle?
Well, I would love to share some verses with you. I first think of Psalm 16, verse 8. It says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So if we think about what are we putting in front of our eyes, and I want my eyes to be always focused on the Lord, that is a high standard for how we use our time, what we let our eyes see. And I think that that could be like a starting point or maybe a theme verse or something. Also, if we just think about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what are the activities? What is the family atmosphere that helps to promote that? How do we grow in having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and saying our family needs to align with that? Also, of course, that verse in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Might be directed more towards parents to say, how am I using my time? Am I spending quality time with my kids, with my spouse? How is that going, right? Yep. And also, I think about the verse, Psalm 46, verse 10, that says, be still and know that I am God. We are such a fast-paced society, distracted society. We do, 5 million things at one time. But in order to really connect to God, we have to be still and quiet. And say, how do I make sure there is space for that in my life and in my family's life? How do we make sure that is a top priority? And so I think that God has a lot to say about screens, even though that word is not in the Bible. Yeah. I think there are a lot of verses that apply.
Amen. Amen. Mary Catherine, this has been so interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to bring out before we have to get ready to wrap up?
Well, I would just like to share with parents, don't give up. If you have tried and failed or you felt like you failed, it is so worth it to keep trying for your children. And I love to help people out, but I would just say this is a long-term issue and we are just now catching up to how screens are damaging relationships, damaging the brain, damaging our ability to learn. The poor effects on our physical health. We're seeing a lot of metabolic syndrome issues, the weight gain, the high blood pressure, the high blood sugar, prediabetes and diabetes in younger people that used to not be in the younger generation at all. So the terrible effects on our physical health, and this is a society-wide problem. It's a problem for individuals and families, but it's also as an entire society, we are suffering, and it's time to stand up and do something about it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know this information is something that a lot of our listeners want more information about. So if someone has a question or they'd like to reach out for more information, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
There are a couple of ways. First of all, just the old-fashioned way. You can give me a phone call. My number is 501-290-7132. Call me up and talk to me about what's going on in your family, and I'll see how I can help. I also have a website, which is lifewalkcoaching.com. So it's W-A-L-K-K, walk, lifewalkcoaching.com. And people can go there and find out more about me as well.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links all this in the show notes below. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Folks, digital addiction is real, but so is hope. Mary Catherine Lisinski is on a mission to help families silence the noise and strengthen relationships and put God back in the center of their homes. If you're tired of the screen time fights, the zoning out, the mental fatigue, this could be the breakthrough your family needs right now. Drop down the show notes, click the links right there, get in touch with her, and learn more about her coaching and grab some free resources. Schedule a session with her, praise God. Your family's peace is worth it. Glory to God. Mary Catherine, I want to thank you again for the work you're doing in this area, because it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And I just praise you for taking that step and being a leader in this area.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Bob. I just want to help educate parents and help encourage them and do what I can to help us to be healthy families.
Amen. Amen. I also appreciate your time for taking the time to come on the program today and sharing this with us. Praise God.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but this subject just will not go away. So drop down the show notes again, click the links right there, get in touch with Mary Catherine Lisinski right now. For Mary Catherine and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.